So you didn't get to be what you wanted to be. Remember that innocent ambition as a child? When I grow up, I want to be. Now, there was something pure about that thought, wasn't there? There was something very simplistic about that thought as a child. Do you remember what your answer was to that question? I want you to take just a moment and turn around to someone that's not related to you and share with them what you wanted to be when you grew up. What your answer was to that question. Go ahead and take about a minute and do that. All right, I think that's been about a minute. I remember I had a tennis racket that I had taken a cardboard, like a shoebox lid, and I had fastened it onto the tennis racket, and I'd used crayons to decorate this cardboard lid up like a guitar. And so I would stand in front of my mirror in my room in the early 80s, and I would lip sync to the tunes of Bon Jovi or Wham. Yes, that's very embarrassing. and then I decided to customize this a little bit because I needed to be able to play some of the other parts in the song. So I flipped the tennis racket over and I used another shoebox lid and I colored it up as a piano. So I had one of those 80s keytars, you know. And so that in the middle of a song, if there was a cool keyboard part, I could flip my guitar over and play that part real quick. Oh. I really wish I had a picture of this instrument. I don't. I do have a picture of my Bugs Bunny drum set, though. There's the music bug hit me early. I wanted to tour as a musician because music brings hope, and it makes people smile. Musicians have a way of inspiring people with great depths of wisdom, encouraging us to dream on. Dream on. Dream until your dreams come true. Because life is a highway and you need to be hungry like a wolf so that you can be an all-star and get your game on and get paid. Even though we live in a land of confusion, it might seem against all odds that we just need to learn to walk this way, sweet child of mine, because we're halfway there. Living on a prayer. Even though we might feel like we're flies in the Vaseline or we become comfortably numb in the purple haze that smells like teen spirit, we need to just kick a little and cause a stir because big wheels keep on turning and Proud Mary keeps on burning. I'm an Iron Man on a crazy train born in the USA, and I've got a machine head that's better than the rest. So take it easy. Easy. Easy like Sunday morning. Because when I come around, I only want to see you laughing in the purple rain. Oh, and little pink houses for everyone, for you and me. Oh, those were inspirational lyrics during their time. I think as children, we all wanted to be involved in something important when we grew up. We wanted to spend our lives being a beneficial, a participating person in our society and around us. We wanted to give things to the world that we lived in. Not in just doing something, but in being something. And that question could be worded, what do you want to do when you grow up? But often we hear, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did we get to be what we wanted to be? Does our job, does our career, does our work fit that childhood dream? I'd like to look at something here with you this morning. If you could, we're going to do a pie chart. So if you've got some empty space somewhere in your bulletin, I want you to just draw a circle. Now, we've got 168 hours in a week, including the weekend. Now, we're supposed to sleep 8 hours a night. I know a lot of us don't, but we're supposed to. All right? So if you take 8 hours a night and multiply that by 7, you have 56. Now, those of you guys that don't have calculators, I did do this on a calculator, so it's correct. 56 is exactly one-third of 168. So we should be sleeping one-third of our life. So if you want to draw your circle there into a third, and that's for sleep. Now, how much time do we spend at work? I think the 40-hour week is a thing of the past. I think for a lot of us, 45 to 55 might be a low average. Some people a lot more. But if we were to take that same number of 56 hours a week, then we have a second third of our life that's dedicated towards work. One third of our life, we work. Then that last third is all the other stuff we do. Spending time with the family, our personal time, time spent eating, time spent showering or brushing our teeth, just all the other stuff in life. So this third of your life, this third that you dedicate to work is a third of your life that you will never get back. This is time spent that you cannot go back and reclaim. It would seem to me that this would be an important part of our life to put some focus on. Maybe a part to evaluate, to put under the light of God's Word and see what God's Word has to say about this. So in the next, including this Sunday, for four Sundays, we're going to be spending time in God's Word, looking at what God's Word has to say about the office, about our places of work. As we get started this morning, I'd like to go to the beginning. All right, so if you guys want to turn there with me, into the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. First book in your Bible, chapter 1. Pardon me. Our Bibles start with the story of God creating everything. Everything that our naked eye can see, everything that our highly advanced telescopes can see, everything that our highly advanced microscopes can see. God created it all. He created everything. God makes the heavens and the earth. He makes the sky and the oceans. He makes the plants and the trees and the sun and the moon and the stars. And after each of these days of creation, God looks at what he has done. And he creates these things and he says, that's good. He does another day of creation. He ends that day and he says, that's good. Ooh, that's good. I remember a time when my wife, Jessica, just did a great job waxing her car. And she just did a wonderful job. And it's a car, so I wanted her to be able to appreciate it the right way. To be able to appreciate it as a man would appreciate something that he's accomplished. Because men and women, they appreciate things differently, don't they? Yeah? I mean, men are very proud of our accomplishments, no matter how small they may be. We're very proud. So I wanted to show her how to appreciate this the right way. So I gave her a little lesson in how to appreciate things like a man does. And I told her, well, you have to cross your arms first. And you have to stand back and look at it. And you got to start walking around. And you raise the top arm here and you bring it up to your chin. And you get Clint Eastwood eyes. You just kind of squint them down real nice there. And you take a look around your project, what you just looked at. And as you're looking, you need to start slowly kind of merging in a little head nod there. And it kind of gets a little bigger. And you're thinking, and then your eyebrows have to raise at this point. Right? And then it doesn't matter if anyone's around. You have to look side to side like there is. All right? So your eyebrows come up. And then you point and you say, that's a good job. Right? What? Oh, you got to take a breath. That's a good job. And that's what I see God doing here in the beginning. I see God appreciating his work. I see God looking down at his work, the things that he had accomplished. And he's saying, that's good. That's good. He went on and he created all of the animals in the seas and in the trees and on the land. And he created man. And he stepped back after all that he had done, all that he had accomplished. And he stepped back and he said, that's very good. Now, if you turn the page to chapter 2 of Genesis, We're going to find out what our Bibles call this activity that God participated in, that God spent the first 6 days of creation involved in. Look down at verse 2. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the what? Work he had been doing on the seventh day. He rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all of the work of creating that he had done. God was working. This is how we're introduced to God. First chapter, first book of our Bibles. And we're introduced to a God that is at work. Our first picture of God is a God at work. God is working. And not only is he working, but he is looking at the results of his work. He's looking at the things that he has accomplished. And he's able to enjoy it. He's able to say, that's good. That's very good. God worked with purpose and meaning. And it gave him satisfaction to look at all of the work that he had done. Now, from Genesis chapter 1, we talked about this last week, and if you want to turn back, you can take a look at it. Genesis chapter 1, we are told that we have been made in God's image. We are made to work. We are made in the image of this working God. We bear his image. Our work is a reflection of his image. As we jump back to chapter 2, we take a look at some of the ideas here about work and our involvement in work. Look down at chapter 2, verse 5, the very last part of verse 5. It says, and there was no man to work the ground. So God had put all this together, and his concern was there was no man to work it. So skip on over to verse 15 of chapter 2. God makes a solution here. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. We were made specifically to do work with meaning and purpose. I think a lot of people believe that work is the result of sin in the world, right?
Well, didn't God give that to us as a punishment?
No. In fact, if you look, we're in chapter 2. Sin comes in chapter 3. Work existed before sin existed. Work was given to man before man had fallen, before he had sinned. Man not only lived in paradise, but he worked in paradise. The curse after sin made the work more difficult, but it did not change the initial state where work was introduced to man. Man was made in the image of a working God. And God made us specifically to do work that was purposeful and meaningful. Now, a long time ago, there lived a man named Solomon, King Solomon, a very wise man who wrote a whole book on his quest for meaning. If you turn forward in your Bibles, you can start flipping forward. And if you hit a big book called Psalms, then you're real close. It's the book after the book after Psalms. So you got Psalms and Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes is the name of the book you're looking for. Now, we looked at this book a few months ago in our American Idols series, if you remember right. We were looking at the American Idol of pleasure, and so we went to look at what Solomon had discovered about pleasure, because Solomon looked through pleasure for meaning. Well, Solomon also looked to work in his search of meaning. So let's take a look at what Solomon discovered about work. Chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes and going down to verse 17. So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. Now, a lot of us hear these words and we say, he gets it. He understands my life. He understands what I live with. He understands what I've been going through life with. Because some of us, we've been there before. Some of us are there now. And we're thinking, I hate my life. Why? Because I hate my job. My job's awful. My job makes my life miserable. And it's meaningless, meaning that it has no meaning. That's what meaningless means. It has no purpose. It's a dead-end job, and I hate every minute of it. And all this money that I'm earning, this great wealth that I'm earning, is going to go to someone else to enjoy. I'm working in a job I hate and giving money to someone that I don't know if they're going to be smarter or a fool with my money after I'm gone. And Solomon comes to the conclusion, this is meaningless to work for money. It's meaningless to simply work for wealth, to work for getting things. He hated the things that he had toiled for. You know, it would be sad to find out how many of us are tied to a job we hate simply because it pays the bills. If you are, then you're losing precious hours of your life. And I do not believe that God intended for you to go through life like that. You are made for purpose. You are made for meaning. You are made to work with purpose and meaning, not just for a paycheck. Look at what Solomon discovered after going about things the hard way. And I think this is great to be able to look at Solomon. Solomon went through it. He was exhaustive. And we don't have to do that. We can go to Solomon and see what he did and what conclusions he came to without experiencing the heartache that he did. In Solomon's search for wisdom, or for meaning rather, he came to these conclusions about work. Verse 24, we'll continue reading. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Solomon says that a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. Now, wait a minute. This guy was just talking about hating life because of work. And now he's saying that this is one of the things that there's nothing better to do. The focus is over here, he's working for wealth. He was working for money. He's working for stuff. Over here, he's working for purpose. He's working in such a way he can look at what he has done and find satisfaction in his work. Skip on down to chapter 3, verse 9. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. Solomon also says that a man can do nothing better than to be happy and do good while they live. How many of us are really happy? How many of us really consider happiness something that we can obtain? How many of us actually believe that we can be happy or that we even should be happy? Some people go through life thinking we shouldn't be happy. And they feel guilty for the times that they are happy. I believe that God wants us to enjoy life. I believe that God wants us to enjoy the work that we do. Work was not made to be meaningless. It was not made to be a drain on our lives, but rather something that we get satisfaction from. Work was not a punishment from God. Work was not made to ruin our lives. The bottom line is stated right there in verse 13 that we just read. Work is a gift from God. We should work with purpose and meaning, and we should find satisfaction in our work. Am I saying that some of you need to pull out of your job and find a new one? Well, that's not for me to decide. But I do want to ask you, wait 1 week. Give it one more week. Because next week we're going to be looking at a new way to clock in. How to gain a new attitude from God's word on how to go to work. And maybe, just maybe, the job you're in right now has meaning and it has purpose. And you just need some help in finding that meaning and purpose. And then you can get satisfaction out of what you do. So stick where you are for at least one more week. All right? And then after next week, but even after next week, there are going to be some people that realize, hey, I'm not where I'm finding purpose. I'm not where I'm finding meaning. I can't even find it in this new way that has been shared to clock in. And you might decide that it's time to change jobs. And if so, then I encourage you to do that. Because you weren't made to go through life like that. For others, for others, then we're just going to have to revisit the meaning and purpose that we once had in our jobs. The satisfaction that we once got from our jobs. And we've lost that, either through mediocrity or maybe we've gotten caught up in earning money and trying to work so hard that we get raises so we can buy more stuff. And we need to get back to the basics of our job. And that we do have a job that has meaning and purpose. What did you want to be at this point in your life? What were your dreams? What were your passions? And what will it take to follow them? To find real purpose and real meaning in your work? To be able to stand back after a day's work and quote the very words of God. That's good. We want our dream job. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? From 1996 to 2004, I traveled as a musician. I recorded in a recording studio. We got a lot of feedback from students and adults alike that the songs that we had written as a group had brought meaning and purpose to their lives. Those days of standing in front of my mirror, dreaming, they came to be, and then they came to pass. And I was there in 2004 thinking, well, you don't expect to get what you wanted so early. So I started thinking of new dreams, a new dream job, a new thing that I wanted to be because I hadn't grown up yet. I'm still working on that part. And so Jesse and I were on a long trip, and so we started talking and we started looking at the strengths that God had given me and the things that where I've got weaknesses, the things that I'm consistently lacking in. And we made up this very honest list to try and figure out where I would best fit next, what my next dream job would be. And so as we started sorting these things out, it looked like the opportune job for me would be a senior minister position at a church without some of the stuff that a senior minister does, all right? Without the business side of the senior ministry side of things, all right? Without the finances, without handling staff, the hiring and the firing process, without organizing large groups of people, and those things just aren't my suit. And so we looked at that and we said, well, that would be the opportune job to find a place where I could share God's word with creativity and inspire people and lead a group of people through just inspiring them and motivating them to be active in God's kingdom. And that sounded exciting for me. And being able to have time away from some of those business-like parts of the church to be able to spend time one-on-one with people in my office. To be able to branch out and be active in people's marriages and help them grow there. And this was a long trip, so I had plenty of time to keep dreaming. And I thought, you know, I don't know if I'm done with music yet. I think in this dream job, I think I'd like to be able to do some more music. I think I'd like to be able to play. In fact, it would be a double bonus if I could play the type of music that I like to play. That I could worship in a style that I really enjoy. And I kept dreaming, and I kept thinking about things that I enjoy, and I thought about web pages. I enjoy web pages. I enjoy doing graphic art. And I thought, well, that would be a nice thing to throw into this dream job. And we looked at this list, and Jesse and I both said, good luck. There's no way we're going to find a church like this. And if you find a church that's got an administrative minister that handles those things, they're normally well-established enough, they're not going to take a chance on a musician that doesn't have any preaching experience. That was 2004. It was actually the winter of 2004. And I got a job, one of those in-between jobs, those jobs that you get before you get the job that you're really looking for. You know what I'm talking about? We're going to be talking about those jobs next week. So I got one of those jobs and I just waited. And I kept looking and I kept looking, and then I saw the little ad for Miami Town Church of Christ. And I had to read through it a couple times because I couldn't believe that it was exactly what we had looked at. And without some of the extra bonus stuff either, that none of that was included, but it was the preaching and the evangelism side of things and being able to share with people. And I thought, that's it. So in that 1 year time period, I sent out one resume to a church, and it was to here. And God opened the door and he led me here. And after I got here, then he started adding those things in. The marriage side of things has been passed to me in the past year. I started working with a web page and kind of worked with that. That became a part of my ministry. I get a chance to play with Josh Brown on Sunday mornings. I get a chance to play with Jason on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights, whenever the well is. And I love it. I love my job. I love preaching. I love researching. I love spending time with you guys. And I don't share all this stuff to kind of pat myself on the back. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God, and that I am a witness, I am a testimony that I've had two dream jobs given to me by God, and I'm not even 35 yet. I got the dream job that I always wanted to be when I was a kid growing up, and then I came up with another dream job, and I said, all right, well, this is my dream job, and here it is. And I share this with you to give you hope. To let you know that sometimes you just need to stick your neck out a little bit and say, you know, I'm tired of this. I want something that's going to fit me, that's going to give me meaning and purpose. Sometimes you need to stop and be patient and wait on God to work. But you need to be searching for that. You can't just stay where you are and keep lying to yourself, because you're wasting valuable time where you could be productive and you could find satisfaction from your work. You know, my job's not perfect. There are days when I get frustrated. I've got some goons I work with from time to time. Hey. And I'm sure they look at me. I don't have to guess there. I'm absolutely sure they look at me as a goon sometimes. And there's frustrations. And there's days when I go home and I'm tired and I'm worn out and I'm a little upset. But I still go to sleep every night thinking, I'm exactly where I want to be, and I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I tell you what, there's not a feeling like that. If you've got that, then praise God for it. And if you don't, open up. So I really don't believe we need to live like this. Take a look at one last verse here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22. He says, so I saw that there is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Enjoy our work. If you would, please pray with me. Father, we come to you and we just thank you so much for the guidance that you give in your word. Father, that you introduced yourself to us and you did so in such a way that showed us that you are a God at work. And you didn't just stop. We know that you still work today. And we have been made in your image and you made us with purpose and with meaning to follow in your footsteps and do work that we can find satisfaction in. Father, I pray for all these brothers and sisters of mine, Lord, that they would be able to be blessed by you, that they would open themselves up, stretch their neck out, or be patient depending on the situation. Father, and let you lead them to their dream job so they can be not only what they want to be, what you've placed in their heart, but what you want them to be. Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, for opening up the door to be able to talk to you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So evaluate yourself. Look through your life. And you know, I'm not saying everybody has to be a musician or a preacher to have meaning. Some of you were made to be engineers. Praise God. Be the engineer that God made you to be. Some of you were made to be teachers. Praise God. Be the teacher that God made you to be. Some of you were made to make sure that we have clean water to drink. That's an important job. Be that water purifier that God wants you to be. This morning, if you're struggling with these things, and we're a church that we want to do life together, and we've got elders that come forward on a Sunday morning, and they're here to pray with you. So this morning, if you're struggling with the job that you hate, and that third of your life, it takes over the rest of their life when you hate your job. It affects your sleep. It affects your other stuff, the time you spend with your family. And there's no need for that. If you're struggling with that, we've got people up forward here this morning, and they're here to pray with you.